Are you a person for whom traditions are very important? More than likely, you have some traditions in your life that are organized and important to you and your family and friends. Things that you look forward to doing on a regular basis, things you may even do during the holidays. But what happens when our traditions become more important than the thing that we are celebrating? What happens when our traditions take away from the things that we are to truly value? When I was a kid, I had a very straightforward, regular Christmas routine. On Christmas Eve, my family and I would go to my grandparents on my dad's side of the family. Christmas morning, we would wake up and go to church, come home and open my presents, and then go to my grandma's on my mom's side of the family. And this continued year after year for decades. It was a wonderful tradition, a way to see all our family right around Christmas. But when I became a pastor, it became somewhat problematic. You see, as you all know, as a pastor, Christmas Eve is not a time for rest and relaxation, but Christmas Eve is one of the busiest days of the year. And so I remember going to my family and telling them that I would have to miss Christmas Eve for the first time. Well, they wouldn't hear of it. They wouldn't hear of it because they wanted to keep the tradition going. And so they did something that was very kind and very gracious. They moved Christmas Eve to earlier in the day. But even though Christmas Eve was earlier in the day at about noon, my mind was not on the family celebration, but my mind was back on what I had to do here at church. I was stressed out, worried if everything was going to go okay and if I was going to make it back on time. And on top of that, when I became a pastor, I had just gotten married. And as someone who has gotten married, I not only wanted to celebrate with my family, but also my new family that I was now a part of. And so Christmas Eve and Christmas Day became an incredibly exhausting experience going from one place to another, trying to make sure that I was available and present for the Christmas Eve services and seeing everybody that I was supposed to see. But then something happened. My wife and I had our first child, and we realized that this craziness around Christmas Eve needed to stop. If not for us, but for our child and future children that we have. And so, thankfully, since that time, our Christmas celebrations have spread out throughout the month of December, and yes, even going to New Year's Day. And because of this, things are much more relaxing and enjoyable, and truth be told, meaningful, as we celebrate the gift of family, and most importantly, the birth of our Lord and Savior. I share this with you because at times in our life, the things that we have always done, the things that we have always believed, the ways that we always have done them, come into conflict with the way that things are. And we wonder, how do we know which values and traditions to hold on to, and which values and traditions to let go of. In our scripture reading today, the disciples that were following Jesus had the same dilemma. You see, Jesus and his followers were Jewish. And as Jewish people, they followed ancient Jewish laws that were given to them thousands of years before Jesus was born, that were given to them at a very important point in Jewish history. You see, most of us know the story of that at one point God's people were slaves under an evil Egyptian king, and that God led his people out of slavery into freedom and gave them the country of Israel. But like any country, this country needed laws. So that they did not descend into chaos and disorder, they needed laws to govern themselves by. And so God gave them these laws. And we can read about these laws, which are still in books like Deuteronomy today. And some of the laws that we still follow today, and some of the laws that we don't. You see, because many of the laws are based on dietary restrictions, based on the things that you are or are not allowed to eat. You see, when these laws were first given to God's people, they did not know what a germ was. They did not have refrigeration. They did not have ovens and stoves like we had today. And so it was very important to God that his people were healthy. And so he very clearly said that these are things you should eat and these are things you should not eat. And when you eat certain things, they should be prepared in a certain way. And so this became a tradition that the Jewish people followed for thousands of years, all the way through the life of Jesus. But after Jesus died and rose again from the dead, there was a problem. You see, many of the people that Jesus had brought into his fold, many of the people that Jesus had loved and called a follower of him were not Jewish. And so these Jewish people who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the Lord, struggled with what to do with these non-Jewish people, otherwise known as Gentiles, and how to include them. And that's where our scripture reading takes place today, during one particular conflict, an argument. You see, the book of Acts we just read today is literally about the acts or actions or activities of the disciples of Jesus after he has risen from the dead. And if you were with us last week or the previous weeks, you know one of the primary leaders of the Christian church after Jesus rose from the dead was the disciple Peter. And Peter went and visited and ate with Gentiles, non-Jewish people. And before Jesus, this would have been incredibly scandalous. And to many Jewish believers, this was still scandalous. They looked at Peter and said, "How could you do this? How could you eat with these people? You are now unclean." Peter said to his fellow believers, "I had a dream, I had a vision, in which God descended on a sheet, all sorts of wild beasts and animals. And God said to me, 'Eat these beasts and animals.' And I, as Peter, said, 'God, I would never eat that. I never have eaten that, because those are unclean animals according to our ceremonies and rituals and laws.' And God said to Peter, 'Do not call unclean what God has made clean.'" Peter understood this then to mean that he and other believers in Christ should not call other people unclean. That all those who wish to be baptized, that all those who are convicted of the Holy Spirit are invited into the kingdom of God. And our previous traditions and rules and norms should not be a barrier between us and God, between us loving other people that God himself loves. You see, as people and as a culture, our whims and our norms and our values change. The things that we consider deeply important change quickly and go away. Look at a picture of yourself from the 70s or 80s or even 90s. Look at the way that you were dressed. Look at the way that your hair was styled. Would you dress in that way today? Would you style your hair in the same way today? Would you wear the same glasses and clothes? Would you have the same furniture in your house? For many of us, we would say no. But that is only a few decades. In a few decades, that which we considered appropriate is now no longer appropriate. But you see, God does not operate that way. God does not change his values based on what's popular, based on what's normal, based on what is typical, but God's values do not change. And so part of what we do as Christians is needing to renew our mind so that we are thinking and feeling about things and people not based on our preconceived notions, not based on our traditions, but based on what God convicts of us in his word and his gospel. I remember when I was in second grade, and this particular winter in second grade, it seemed like we got more snow than we had ever had in my life. And not only that, it stayed cold, so this snow continued to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate and build up. And I remember because of this, the fifth graders in the school, which was the oldest grade in my elementary school, decided to build this massive snow fort. It was a snow fort that they had worked on every single day at recess, and it grew and grew and grew to have all sorts of different tunnels and rooms and buildings. And I remember one day as a second grader, I got the courage to go up and ask if I could help with the snow fort. And I remember I walked up to one of the fifth graders who was standing at the entrance, and I asked him, could I help build and work on the snow fort? He looked at me and sneered, no, only fifth graders allowed. I walked away sad and dejected and disappointed at this turn of events. And I remember the following days, I watched the snow fort from a distance, and I looked at it, wishing I could be a part of it, wishing I could be in it. Until one day I got the courage up to just go up to the snow fort and maybe look at it. That I wouldn't necessarily be able to work on it or help build it, but I could just get a better look. And as I grew closer, I noticed that in one of the outer rooms, working on a new wall, was my twin brother, Josh. I asked him, how did he get in the snow fort? How did he get permission from the fifth graders to belong? He said, I don't need permission. I just stepped over the wall and started building. Come on in. I took a big step over this wall that my brother was building, and in my excitement, began to work, make snowballs, and build this new room. And nobody noticed, nobody bothered, nobody cared, but I was in the fort. I share this story with you because as Christians, we find ourselves in a similar place. Sometimes we're like the fifth graders. Sometimes we find ourselves in positions of power or influence and prestige. We find ourselves in positions where we can keep people out, where we can tell people no, where we can say, you do not belong, and they will believe you. Other times, we find ourselves as outsiders. We find ourselves looking in, wishing that we belong, wishing that we could be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And other times, we find ourselves in the third point, the part that my brother was, inviting other people in. You see, the right part is the third part. We want to be people of invitation. We want to be people of openness. We want to be people who do not close ourselves off, but open ourselves up. Because the truth of the matter is, we are not talking about building a snow fort as believers in Christ, but we are talking about building the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God does not belong to us, but the kingdom of God belongs to Jesus Christ himself. Therefore, let no person stand in the way of what God is building here on earth. Peter says to those who scoffed at him, those who looked down on him, those who baptized Gentiles, God gave them the same gift he gave us, Peter says, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Do your attitudes and your actions and your behaviors stand in the way of what God is trying to do? Stand in the way of what God is trying to accomplish? Do we as members of Grace Lutheran Church open our hearts, open our doors to believers? Do we invite and encourage and equip others? When there are new people among us, do we welcome them or do we stay in our lane, stay in our pew, focus on what we need or what we think or what we have done? God calls us to a sense of openness. God calls us to a sense of welcome. Because at the end of the day, what really matters? What really lasts? I mentioned before about how fashion comes and goes, but that's not the only thing that comes and goes. So much of things come and go. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So as you evaluate your attitudes, your actions, your judgments towards others, but also towards yourself, ask yourself a fundamental question. Will this matter in heaven? Will this thing I care about so deeply now, will it matter in heaven? Will this grudge or bitterness or anger I hold towards someone else, will it matter in heaven? Will this issue that's occupying my heart and my mind, will it matter to heaven? If the answer is no, then maybe it's time to let go of that and hold on to something else. Because at the end of the day, our time here on earth is short, it's brief, but the time that we spend with Christ and the time that we spend with one another is for eternity. So make it count. Make it count not based on what you believe. Make it count based on what God believes. Make it count based on the word that endures for all eternity. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what truly matters, your Son, Jesus Christ. Help our lives and our attitudes and our actions reflect of love, not just for some people, but for all people. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.